5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome in. It is the Hull Show powered by PDC Energy. I am Brady Hull. We got on the other side of the bulletproof glass, Jades of Spades. We're rocking and rolling here on a, well, I mean, home run derby. You got the MLB All-Star game this week. But so outside of that, this is what we call the worst week in sports, right? It starts off with a bang with the home run derby tonight and then the All-Star game tomorrow night. But outside of that, you know, you get to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Well, Friday we get back into the season. So Wednesday, Thursday, kind of rough, but we'll have fun. Home run derby is going to be amazing. Like, I'm actually excited about this. I never get excited about the home run derby. Jades, I'm a small ball kind of guy. Football, I like the run game. Baseball, I like playing small ball. You know, a 3-2 game is awesome for me. I've seen home runs. So I'm not like one of those guys that, unless I'm rooting for my team to win, right, then home runs are always fantastic. But I'm not one of those that just says the home run is the best play in baseball. I like a good defensive play, a diving catch, those kind of things. However, the studs that are ready to go in tonight's home run derby, I mean, it's going to be fun just to see them let it fly. I think it's going to be great.
I agree. I mean, the lineup this year is one of the best I think it's ever been. Certainly the best it's been in years. I mean, you have Juan Soto who just turned down $440 million. You have Pete Alonso.
He was like in trade rumors too, all before this, before the home run derby. Yeah. So, you know, come in with a little chip on his shoulder.
Yeah,
tonight.
For sure. Pete Alonso going for the three-peat.
Yes.
You have Acuna who's coming off of an injury, but
right.
I mean, he competed with Alonso in 2019. They were neck and neck, but and then you got J-Rod, who in my opinion is, I think he's the sleeper pick in it all.
That's the one where he's like, I don't know what how they rank him and stuff, but he's
six, I think.
Yeah, I think he's down there a little bit. Mm-hmm. So you're saying maybe throw a couple of bucks at that. Not that you could give that advice. A couple of bucks at that and, you know, see what happens.
I wouldn't be surprised to see some fireworks from that guy. I mean, he's a stud.
Well, what are the chances Alonso does it again?
He's the favorite.
I mean, he or Schwarber, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I am actually looking forward to it. I don't know, like I said, normally I don't care, but it is kind of, are we going to see some records being broken tonight?
I think for sure most home runs is going to be broken.
What do you, I don't even have that up. I should have brought that up. What is the home run derby record?
I think it's like 220 something.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's really high, but I don't know. The over-under is pretty high this year, too. I can't remember exactly what it is either, but
this is go for it. Go on. Go take the over. Have some fun with it. Enjoy this thing. And then the All-Star Games tomorrow. Okay, our Method Flow Products poll question. I do this one quite a bit. Normally, I do what's your favorite All-Star game. What's your least favorite All-Star? Maybe it shouldn't just be the game, Jades. Maybe we should factor everything into it. Like, what's your favorite All-Star week? Or weekend, depending on the team. I would say this is probably number one, isn't it? I mean, I know you're a baseball guy, so you're a little biased. But the home run derby is the best of the extracurricular activities, I believe. If you take the slam dunk contest, it's weird because the home run derby, you've seen one home run, you've seen them all. Same with the dunk side of it. But what I like about the derby is it's cut and dry. You either hit a home run or you don't. Slam dunk, you got how many judges there judging the dunk? And it's subjective, you know? It's different people are going to say that dunk was better than the other. This is the home run derby. You either hit a home run or you don't. So the dunk contest, I don't know, 10 years ago was kind of cool. But what are they going to do now? I mean, Blake Griffin already jumped over a car. And he jumped over, like, you know, the front end of the car. So, still great. I couldn't do it. None of us could do it. But what else can you do? I mean, Rondo blew out a cupcake on the base of the back of the rim. You can't do any more there. NFL Pro Bowl, I used to like the skills competitions back in the day. I don't anymore. I just don't care for them. The games itself, the Pro Bowl's probably the worst. NHL, I care so little about NHL All-Star Weekend. That's nothing to me. I don't care about any of them. They're not cool. But baseball's got to have it because of the home run derby. The home run derby is definitely the best extracurricular activity during the All-Star breaks, during the during any kind of All-Star week or weekend. See, you probably got to go with baseball. Is the best. But the question is, what's your least favorite? NHL's not even a blip on my radar. NBA, I don't know. I'd say NHL's my least. NFL probably second least favorite. And then we go in NBA. And then Major League Baseball. And again, it's not necessarily because of the All-Star game. I will say I liked the All-Star game better when it had meaning to it. A lot of people didn't like that, and that's why they ended up doing away with it.
No, I agree. I think there should be some leverage on it. Otherwise, it's just, who cares, right? But what I do, one of the more underrated pieces of the MLB All-Star break is the Futures game,
yeah.
Which I think is super cool, too.
That's kind of cool. You know, you get a chance to see. Well, and the NBA kind of does. They do that, too, with their. Look at the poll. What's your least favorite All-Star game? Do you know what's leading right now?
What?
NFL. By leaps and bounds, 55% of the hooligans are saying the NFL is their least favorite All-Star game.
Well, because no one actually even plays football during it.
Well, you change your sport. Well, doesn't the NHL do something different too? Isn't it like 3-on-3? Or is that am I wrong on that? Am I just way off on that? I don't know. My All-Star knowledge isn't what it should be. The NFL's okay. Now it's 50% NFL, 30% NHL, 20% NBA. Major League Baseball is not even getting a vote for least favorite. So everybody likes this all. If you had to pick an All-Star game, you're going to go with Major League Baseball, I suppose. The All-Star game for Major Leagues, though, has the one up because there's nothing else. There is nothing else to do right now, Jades. It is, I hope you like watching All-Star games because that's all you got unless you're into something that's not one of the big four. And yes. Training camp doesn't start till next week. So this is it. This is the game. And this is where Major League Baseball can make some good headway as far as the ratings and all that go. We dub it as the worst week in sports because you got two quick days and then it's nothing for a couple of days. What did you say? Was it Wednesday and Thursday?
Tuesday and Thursday.
Well, isn't Tuesday the game, the actual game?
I think it's Wednesday.
I'm showing Tuesday. Tuesday at 6. Yeah, 6 o'clock on Fox.
Well, there
so
you
I think
go.
You're saying I think Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah, must be.
And then Friday we're back at base. We're back into it. So, yeah, tonight's gonna be fun. So, who are you picking? You giving me a pick? You give me a lock? Not who you want. Who you think's gonna win? Who's winning tonight? I need a lock. I need a short thing. Nothing to gamble on.
I think it's gonna be Alonzo.
You do? That was my gut when we sat down right before the show. I said, "What do you think about Pete Alonzo again?" Now, I know the odds of that happening are probably pretty crazy, but, I mean, he's right. He's number two, I think. He's the second best guy in this thing. So, yeah, I'm going to go with my gut. I'm going to go with my gut on that.
Alonzo's one.
According to ESPN, Schwarber's one.
Oh, really?
Schwarber's one. Pujols is 8.
Wait, what?
Alonzo's 2 against
Acuna. These have got me all messed up, Brady.
Yeah, so I got Schwarber's 1. Pete Alonzo's number 2, according to ESPN. So, again, 1 or 2, whatever. But, I mean, 1 or 2, that's pretty close.
Is that seed or odds?
I'm looking at the seed.
Okay.
I'm looking at the seed. So, they put Schwarber up against the guy that has the worst shot of winning this thing, and that's Albert Pujols.
Right, yeah. I was thinking odds.
I'm not sure what the odds are exactly, but just according to the bracket and the way they've set this up, You got Pete Alonzo. Man, I just think it's gonna be this bracket's fun. It's an exciting time. It really is. I'm with you. I think that we're gonna have some fireworks tonight. Should be great. Got to give us something, right? And then we got training camp starting in next week. You know, Denver Broncos going at it. We can start getting some answers to our questions. We continue with today in the NFL. We're molding it a little bit into our best in the West type deal, and. James, I got to be honest, as I'm breaking through this and really studying up position by position or position group, you know, like offensive line, I'm not going to do the best right tackle. I'm going to do the best overall offensive line. I got to be honest with you. As we bust into this, I don't have the Broncos as leading many of these position groups on the offensive side of the ball. I hope the defensive side trends differently for us. The only position group I have that the Broncos are better than anybody in the West is the running back position. Chiefs got the tight end. Wide receiver, we went with the Raiders. O-line will break into today. We did do the quarterback, right? We already did that. I can't remember. We did it. It's the Chiefs. It's the Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, Raiders in my book. Now, again, this is based on our preview going into the year. Russell Wilson can change all that. Justin Herbert could have a down year. Patrick Mahomes could stumble out the gates, which I think the Chiefs collectively might stumble out the gates. So we're going to get into that. The O-line's interesting. Got to have an O-line. Got to be able to protect these star quarterbacks and allow them to do their thing. So we'll get into that. We got a lot. Zach Stevens will join me in the second hour today. Von Miller, stuff I missed from last week. I was out until Friday with the COVID. Feeling much better today. Still, it's still there, though. Still a little congested. Don't know how long that's going to take. But we'll get through it. But I latest on college football, nothing has changed. I thought we'd have some new information last week when I joined on, when I jumped back on the show on Friday. But here we are. Still kind of up in the air about what's going to happen with the Pac-12. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. So the poll question, Method Flow Products poll question of the day. What is your least favorite all-star game? And is it unfair to tack on the Home Run Derby to the actual? Because I don't care about the game tomorrow. Like, I did when it was. I actually kind of like the fact that AL-NL winner gets home field advantage in the World Series. A lot of people hated that because players don't care as much. It's different. You're putting a lot of emphasis into a game that maybe not everybody really cares about, especially if you're like on a bad team. If you're like the Rockies, do you care where the World Series Game 7 would be? Like, probably not. However, the Rockies, don't look now, they're kind of doing something right now, aren't they? Sitting at 43-50, they have, I mean, they won, how many series in a row now have they won? July's been pretty good for them. They won the Pittsburgh series, they won the Padres series, they won the Diamondbacks series. They've only lost one series in the month, and they got swept by the Dodgers. So they were, what were they before the month started? They were 33-43. They have gained three games since that. In 17 days, they gained three games. They were 10 games under 500, which I predicted, but I also predicted a bounce back in July. So you're welcome for that, Jades. They wrapped up at least the half of July. They've got another, they'll start again on Friday, so they've still got some games in July. 43-50 on the season. Now, where does that compare to where they were last year? I'm not looking at 2020. I'm not even going to go there because 2020 was just weird. July of last season, they were kind of in the mix. They before the All-Star break, they were 11 games under 500. But 7 compared to 11, that's a big deal, especially when you're just a few games, you know, what, 5 games out of the wild card spot at this stage. So you're feeling all right about this team right now. I'm damn sure feeling good about my prediction of 72. I tell you what, Jades, if they can at least stay in the conversation for July, maybe a little into August, wouldn't you say that that's kind of a victory for the first year GM of the Rockies and Bill Schmidt?
Definitely. I mean, if they can get above, especially their win-loss projection, then I think that that's...
What was it? I don't...
Was it 70? I think 70.
Because I was leaning toward the 72 mark, and I think that was high for most. So the Phillies are now sitting in that third spot. The Cardinals are on the outside looking in. They're 49-43. The Rockies are 43-50. I mean, 6 games out of the spot right now. So it's there. Like I said, it's going to take a month to make up 6 games, theoretically. You can't fall on your face when we get back on Friday. I think they got the Padres again, right? Starting up on Friday. So it's right there. There's an opportunity for this team as we get to the second half of the season.
Well, and like you just said, I mean, the difference between where they were and where they're at now, that's the difference between you and Tanner flipping lunches.
That's
on
true.
Your lunch bet.
That's exactly true. They got Milwaukee, a 4-game series in Milwaukee on the road. So they start out on the road, then a two-game series against Chicago, four-game series. Okay, the Padres are down in August. My bad. I thought they were – they start with them in August, not in July. But that's what's tough. I mean, you got the Dodgers, four-game series, and they're playing San Diego all the time. They've got their number right now. Milwaukee's no slouch. I think they're a few games over 500, so it's not going to be easy, but at least on July 18th, as we break for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game and the Home Run Derby, you're at least glancing at the wild card standings. That doesn't make you a bad person. Don't be the guy either that's like, are you new here? The Rockies are just going to drop it. Maybe they will, but you can't enjoy it while they're at least, like, the wild card spot is in their view. They can see it from where they're sitting right now.
Well, I think it might be actually beneficial that the Rockies have this four-day break right now, because I think this stretch coming up once they get back is going to be, it's probably the toughest of the season. I mean, they have the Brewers, White Sox, four games against the Dodgers, five games against the Padres, and then they don't see a team that's below 500 until the Diamondbacks.
Yeah. Is it fair to say the Rockies have weathered the storm, though? The June swoon kind of happened, correct? But they did bounce back in these last couple of the 2 weeks into July. They survived. Now the question is, once training camp starts, we go all Broncos, we go football mode here, will the Rockies still be a part of my script every day? That's the question. Well, come July 30th.
I think it'll be a true testament through August, really, because they see the Cardinals twice.
Yeah. Ah, boy. I don't know. I just don't know about the pitching. I just don't know. Bummer to lose that one yesterday, but, you know, it's tough to sweep a team. I don't care how bad a team is. It's tough to sweep them. Let's hit the good, the bad, and the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Oh, the good. We just talked about it, Jade. Got to go with it. The Rockies win another series. They have only lost one series so far in the month of July. So, yeah, we're enjoying it. We're happy about that.
Here's a payoff pitch. And he lines it to right field. Fair ball down the right field line. It may score all three. It's going to. Brendan Rodgers holds up at second base. 3-run double for Brendan Rodgers. Quintana fires, and it's a line drive. Base hit up the middle into center field. That's going to score two as the throw is cut off. Elias Diaz delivers a 2-run single. Strike three. Ball game over. Daniel Bard with his 20th save of the year, and for the first time in 2022, the Rockies have won five consecutive ball games.
Hey, we'll take it, man. There we go. Courtesy of our friends, Jack Corrigan and Jerry Schimmel of the Rockies Radio Network, which you can hear Rockies games here on KFKA, and from the AT&T Sportsnet crew there with Drew Goodman. The bad, listen, it's not that bad. It's not that big of a deal, but they did drop a rough game on a Sunday, hot Sunday afternoon game against the Pirates. They lose 8-3.
That's line. Oh, he's there again. Throw to second. And how about that way to finish up and raise the Jolly Roger a mile high? The Pirates beat the Rockies.
Yeah, Pirates did get it done. Austin Gomber, he struggled. He gave up two. Did have five strikeouts, but only pitched five innings. And that's tough when you're kind of playing musical chairs with your bullpen. No Daniel Bard. You had Estevez and Stevenson and Gilbert. Gilbert is a wild card big time for me. So you're a little worried about that bullpen. You're worried about the pitching. But 43-50, well on their way to get my 72. So an improved team that's going to give hope for the future. But we shall see. The ugly, other than tonight, and if you're an All-Star fan, other than tomorrow, this is now the worst sports week of the year once we hit Wednesday. So maybe the sports half week. So we are in that ugly time of year, but it's just 2 days, James. That's the beautiful part of it. Then we're back into the season, and then we're back into training camp. Football will be back. We're going to see Russell Wilson and what this team's made of as we lead up to the first preseason game. The regular season's right around the corner. It's a fantastic time. All right, short break coming up. Are you putting pressure on the Denver Broncos? Nathaniel Hackett, Russell Wilson, what are your expectations? Seriously, I want to talk about this. When Peyton Manning started with Denver in 2012, he just came off of 4 neck surgeries. Our expectations were high because it's Peyton Manning. But I think we were still kind of a little leery of going all in on this team. Well, we all know what happened that year. Denver went 13-3. They won the AFC West. They got the first round bye. They lost to Baltimore. But Peyton Manning's year was monster. He was just as good as he'd ever been. And, you know, again, an MVP-type guy. Three of his 4 years with Denver, he was at an MVP level. Should those be the expectations for Russell Wilson? When Manning signed with the Broncos, the Broncos had the best quarterback in the league, right? Because it wasn't Mahomes' time yet. Justin Herbert was still a little baby. Derek Carr was there, but that wasn't really working. I mean, nothing to be able to compete with Peyton Manning. You do this, well, the division has gotten much better. Denver won the AFC West at 8-8 before Peyton Manning became a Bronco. The AFC West was garbage. Now it's maybe the toughest division in football, and at least two of the top quarterbacks in the league in Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. So completely different. Should your expectations change? Or do you think Russell Wilson just raises all those boats where now they can compete with the best? We'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. It's great to be back. I got a full week ready to go. We got big news coming. The whole show will be expanding another hour, 11 to 2. Beginning on August 1st, don't worry, Clark and the coach isn't going anywhere. Well, I guess in the time frame they are. They're going to be going 10 to 11, and then Good Morning NoCo will be 6 to 10. So we will have live and local coverage for you. Northern Colorado News and Sports Entertainment from 6 to 2 o'clock. You don't want to tune away from KFKA, especially now. We got our games coming up, Preps football, UNC football, home of Westwood One's coverage of the NFL, NCAA football. Man, it's going to heat up. It might be a lousy Wednesday, Thursday, but just hang on. Things are about to get really good. 27 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2. On 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 32 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Want to shout out to No Limit Collectibles, man. We talk about the big moments here. We talk about the big sports moments and, you know, living in that fantasy that we all love so much of when it comes to the NFL, NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, college sports. You want to capture those moments. And No Limit Collectibles, they have your stuff. They have, you know, you want to get that man cave looking good, something that you can be proud of, the office, whatever. You know, you're working on a basement lounge and you're finally getting some remodeling going on, whatever. You got to make it look the part. You got to be ready for this fall. You want to deck it out, man. Show that place off. No Limit Collectibles, they have it all. You know, whether it's cards even, you know, sports cards. Maybe you got a collector in the family. Maybe you're the collector. You got to check out No Limit Collectibles. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. They are now in Greeley, right by our great friends at Cable's Pub and Grill. So, I mean, a delicious restaurant, an amazing second-to-none collectible store. You just can't beat it in Greeley. No Limit Collectibles. Buy, sell, trade. 33 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. I'm just curious, like, what are your expectations for Russell Wilson and the Broncos? Because the AFC West didn't change. It just continued to be more complicated than ever. You know, Patrick Mahomes, I've talked a lot about Tyreek Hill. I do think a drop-off is coming for the Chiefs a little bit. But at the end of the day, Mahomes is still one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Maybe he's the best in some of your some of your opinions, depending on how you want to look at it. But he's right there. Not a lot of argument if you say Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. Hard to argue that. Justin Herbert took another step. Now, again, they didn't make the playoffs last year. Very close. But they take that step. And, you know, you look at him specifically and say, man, he's got the weapons. He has the wide receiver core. He has a solid running game. Solid offensive line, which we're going to outline in the second hour. The AFC West is not what it was like in 2012. In 2011, Denver wins it at 8-8 with Tim Tebow. That just shows you the difference. Look at the difference between 2012 and 2022. 10 years later, Peyton Manning takes over. 2011, Tim Tebow and the Broncos win the AFC West. 2022, the Broncos trade for Russell Wilson, who is still very much in his prime. And I think most of the wise guys or the insiders and the to-do guys would say the Broncos might not be barely the third best team in this division. That Russell Wilson doesn't move the needle. They win it with Tim Tebow in 2011. And Russell Wilson still has the Broncos just projected to be like a 10-win team in the most difficult division in all of football. So it just goes to show you, Peyton Manning came in, raised all boats, got all of the AFC West up in arms saying, we got to get better at the quarterback position or we don't stand a chance. They did all that. They were building that up while Manning won a Super Bowl, went to 2 Super Bowls. And then you lose Manning. The rest of the league grew their team to try to beat you. The rest of the division grew their team up to try to beat you. And, of course, we all know John Elway didn't have a plan B. And here we are. Russell Wilson certainly brings the excitement. I think somebody said it on one of his cleats. He's got like a little Lombardi trophy. It says number 4 is coming. Love it. Love the attitude. Love all of it. And Wilson's going to probably have a really good year. But can you compete with the rest of this division? And Nathaniel Hackett, I mean, if you don't win this year, and I'm saying playoffs, if you don't make the playoffs this year, is it considered a failed season? I say no. However, my expectations are that Denver can be a playoff team. I actually think Denver's schedule lines up so well that they can win the division. I think they're going to have a stranglehold on this division by the time they hit their bye week. The question will be, can you follow it up when you start going up against those top-tier teams in the league after the bye? The first part of the season, as I've outlined, is so crucial for Denver. And if you fall flat on your face in that first half, you might consider it a failure. But I'm not saying that it's playoffs or bust. You know my take on that, Jades. If you're going to say or bust, I don't care if you're just a fan. If you're going to say playoffs or bust, then yours telling me that if the Broncos don't make the playoffs, a change needs to be made. That what? The Russell Wilson thing didn't work out? No. You're going to fire Nathaniel Hackett after year one? I mean, that's if your expectations are really that this year, I just think that Denver's building this thing for the long haul. And I think they're going to try to have their cake and eat it, too. They're going to get the best of both worlds. They're building this team up. You have your guys like Patrick Surtain. You have your guys like Javonte Williams that are young guys that you're going to continue to build around. But in the process of trading for Russell Wilson, you also got better now. You got better today. And that's where I look at it and say, you can expect Denver and maybe be a little let down if they don't make the playoffs, but the expectations shouldn't be a playoffs or bust mentality just yet. But I mean, I like a lot of these pieces. A lot of these pieces have question marks on them. You know, the tight end position. They are, you know, I have them ranked as the worst tight end group in the division. But there's promise there. Can Albert O use Greg Dulcich, who's pushing him, to make him become a better tight end? Or will he crumble and then Greg takes over that tight end spot? I mean, the wide receiver core, a lot of guys that have prove-it type years. Now, Sutton and Patrick already have contracts, but as far as proving themselves to be amongst elite-type receivers, they haven't done that yet. And Jerry Jeudy, taken in the early first round already a couple of seasons ago. So I get it if you really believe this team can make the playoffs, which I do, but all I'm saying is the sky will not be falling if this team is a 500 type team and they miss out. You are building this thing for the future. Now, the caveat to that is you don't have a lot of those first round picks because of what you traded for Russell Wilson. So the plan is that these guys that you have assembled over the last 2 years with George Payton as the GM will ramp it up a notch. You will see this defense take it to the next level. New defensive coordinator. What's that going to look like? You have the pieces there that are, you know, on paper pretty good. But again, Bradley Chubb, will he deliver finally? What will the inside interior linebacking position look like with Josie Jewell? Will you see a Justin Sternad take a step in the right direction? Can this defensive line really put pressure on the quarterback? I think all, like, there's a lot of good, positive things to talk about when you're looking at this team. But to expect, I mean, they have the best running back group in the division. Outside of that, on the offensive side of the ball, they're not even in the tops. Tight ends, they're worse, in my opinion. Wide receiver, they're third. We'll get into the quarterbacks. I still think Russell Wilson is the third best quarterback right now. That's not a knock on Wilson. He could be top 10, or he is top 10. Russell Wilson is top 10. It just so happens that two of your quarterbacks that you're competing with are probably top five. Is that fair to say? I mean, you go Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. Does Herbert crack the top five? He's darn close. He's definitely in the top seven. So Russell Wilson is going to be good. He's going to put together big numbers, but it's a monster division. It really is. 41 minutes after the hour, before we break, shout out to another great sponsor of this program. And we've been working with them for a while now, and we're happy to keep working with them throughout the process. It's going to be hot today. You know, it's going to be what? I heard Cody Wilson of Denver Front Range Weather say 104 in Greeley. You got to make sure that AC's running, man. You got to make sure it's working. If there's even a hint that this thing is not going, call my guys at Lemons Heating and Cooling. They're ready to go, ready to fix you up. Talk to them. 970-567-0798. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling. And before you know it, you'll be talking about the heating side of things, too. I mean, I know it's going to be 104 today. Couple of months, we're going to be in the fall, so they'll do it all. They'll take care of it all for you. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling. 41 minutes after the hour. Jades, let's jump out real fast and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The time. Oh, now you got this. Russell Wilson is, as expected, they're all in San Diego right now. Russell Wilson and his wide receivers. Right before training camp hits, as far as I know, the wide receivers that matter are there with Wilson. So you're trying to get the one up here. You're getting everybody together. You certainly have the leadership. We'll see how it all comes together. Noob, you're out of your mind. Noob says Herbert's barely top 12. He was number two in the league last year. Like, his stats, he had 5,000 yards passing last year. That was good for number two behind Tom Brady. He threw 38 touchdowns. Only two other quarterbacks threw more touchdowns than him, Tom Brady and the Super Bowl champ and Matt Stafford. 15 picks, but Matt Stafford threw 17 picks, and Brady threw 12, Mahomes threw 13, Derek Carr 14. I mean, how are you going to say Herbert's not, he's top five, dude? You're going to say he's not even top 12? You got 11 quarterbacks better than Justin Herbert? Who the hell are these guys? Justin Herbert, dude, I'll put him, like, it's Brady, Rodgers, Allen, Mahomes. Then it's probably pretty damn close to saying Justin Herbert's sitting at five. I mean, who's better? Is Stafford better than Justin Herbert? I still have a hard time with that. Because I look at Stafford and I'm like, man, he's a hell of a quarterback. You know, he did a great job, outstanding year. This Rams team was stacked, though. That defense was tough. Aaron Donald, I mean, nightmares for people. I have Herbert in my tier one. Here's my tier one. And again, if you haven't seen my tiers, when the Nuggets lose the playoffs, whatever. TheWholeShow.com, I have my quarterback tiers, and I've got Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. And then I have Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert. And I do have Lamar Jackson. Yes, I believe in Lamar Jackson. He's getting a lot of crap because people don't watch him play. They just see his stats and go, oh, he runs. He's not accurate. He can't throw. He can throw. He is tier one. Absolutely. I actually have Matt Stafford as tier two. But either way you want to say this, tier one, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 quarterbacks there. So I have Herbert either way as a top seven quarterback in the NFL. I have Russell Wilson as a top seven quarterback in the NFL. That's where I'm going. Tier two of the very good is Matt Stafford, Derek Carr, Dak Prescott, Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, Kyler Murray, Trevor Lawrence, Matt Ryan. I do have Deshaun Watson as a very good, as a tier two. I don't know if it's blasphemy to even write his name down and put him up there, but he's still in the league right now. And I actually do think Trevor Lawrence is really freaking good. Jacksonville's just Jacksonville. Tier three, I have the guy. These are the guys like Ryan Tannehill, Mac Jones, Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts, Jimmy Garoppolo, Tua, Baker Mayfield. A lot of people argued my Trevor Lawrence pick there, but I think he's still very good. He had the biggest train wreck of a head coach last year, but I put it there. If you guys want to check it out, go argue with me. Go for it. It's at thewholeshow.com. But Justin Herbert is no question top 10. No question. In my mind, he's one of the top seven. I have seven tier one quarterbacks. Justin Herbert is one of them. 12:50 the time. We'll take a short break coming up. The latest on college football, there isn't anything right now. But what does this all mean for teams like the CSU Rams as far as putting their best foot forward? Couldn't have brought in a guy like Jay Norvell at a better time. Well, I guess it could have happened a few years ago when the Rams were really heavy in those talks of Power 5 conferences. But there's a way to turn some heads, and it starts this season. We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications on Northern Colorado, Allo Communications Studios, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavanagh from AT&T Sports Tonight, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Welcome back into the show. Shout out to On the Rocks Liquor. Got our game beer of the week from Odell's Brewing in Fort Collins. Sippin' Lemonade Sour. Maybe that's something where you get out of the heat, grab your favorite beverage from On the Rocks Liquor, and just take it easy for what should be an amazing home run derby. Also, check this out. Bud Light, as you know, they've come out with these awesome 16-ounce aluminum twist-off cans. Saluting your Stanley Cup champion, Colorado Avalanche. Get yours today at On the Rocks Liquor. Make sure you make that a part of the journey this week. Help commemorate that amazing run by the Avs, getting that third Stanley Cup. Again, these Bud Light 16-ounce aluminum twist-off cans available now at On the Rocks Liquor. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. What's your least favorite All-Star game? NFL's leading this one. 41% now of the hooligans are saying still the NFL. Either way you want to slice all of this college football conference realignment stuff, this season for teams like Colorado State, I'm telling you, it's never been more important to win. And it's a new look. A new quarterback, a new coach, new system, a new era, all of this stuff. So maybe it's irresponsible to put too much pressure on Colorado State. But this is a situation now where if you can put together wins, you can start to – that stadium is a selling point for conferences. If you can get that thing rolling, Fort Collins is beautiful. It transitions, it transcends really well on the national television side of things. But you got to have the product. You're going up against, you're going to Ann Arbor, Michigan, on September 3rd. You're at Michigan. I don't expect anything other than a really lopsided affair there. But go out, prove something there. Show you got something. And then go win these next, you know, Middle Tennessee, Washington State, Sacramento State. You should jump out the gates really well. And I'm saying six wins would be a move in that right direction where people could look at CSU and say, man, this is a team that's putting it together. Jay Norvell seems like a really good heads-up head football coach. I like this air raid offense. But this is an important year. It's important for CU. It's important for CSU. You have to put your best foot forward. You have to show that you would be, you know, great in carrying the Mountain West. You would be great in, if the Pac-12 decides to add on and try to salvage this thing, you are very much trying to put your best foot forward. Second hour coming up next. Zach Stevens from DNVR Broncos. All that and more coming up next on The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy.